Good afternoon, and welcome to HR Tech Weekly, One Step Closer with Stacey Harris and John Sumter. This is our 11th show. I'm John Sumter, your host, and Stacey's on the line. How are you, Stacey?
Good morning, John. Good to chat with you this morning, and hello to everyone out there today. Hopefully, wherever you're at, it's starting to get a bit warmer.
Yeah, I think spring is definitely on the horizon here in beautiful Occidental California. The roses and camellias are blooming, and spring is really completely underway.
Yeah, I talked to someone from Albany, New York this morning, and even they got 40 degrees today, so it's coming there slowly but surely.
Yeah, I think it must be the groundhog saw a shadow this year. That must be what's going on.
Okay.
So, big week. We saw each other in San Francisco for the Ceridian Analysts get-together, and lots of other little things are happening around the industry. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, we had more topics this week than I could actually sort of cover. So I picked just a couple, and maybe we'll get to all of them, maybe not. We do have the Ceridian Analyst event to talk a little bit about today. We also there was a press article that came out for Workforce Software, which is another workforce management solution. It's primarily a workforce management solution. And so I think it's worth chatting a little bit about the whole workforce management market and where it's heading. We also, Burson released its new Global Human Capital Trends report. So that I think is some interesting chatting about today. I talked about some, I think, different areas that are top concerns for executives from what they've been in the last couple of years. And then we also saw some PeopleFluent had their big users conference this week, although neither you nor I were at the event. There was quite a few of the analyst market there, and I think they launched a couple of new things this week, including some new development use case tools as well as some new recruiting tools. So both, I think, all of that is interesting news this week.
Yeah, so where do you want to jump in? Let's talk about the Burson report. Let's talk about the Burson report. And let me start with the question that gets my mind. So my take from the publicity surrounding the Burson Global Human Capital Trends report is that it's another exercise in HR bashing. And so it's all about how awful the gap between what business leaders want and what HR is delivering is enormous, according to this report. Engagement is the most important thing in the world, is in the report. And it seems interesting to me that a company that delivers solutions to those two tools finds that in its report. And that's... My take is, Burson is now totally integrated into Deloitte. I get it.
Well, I think there's some opportunity there. I do think, you know, knowing some of the research, this was done in the traditional Deloitte manner versus some of the Burson manner, which is, I think, it was done with a lot more interviews. But it did have, I think, 3,000 respondents to the survey and to the research. So, again, a pretty wide, you know, breadth, but probably a good portion of them are Deloitte clients. What I think, you know, I took away from my, I agree, yes, there was a lot of focus there that HR is not connecting with their senior executives, which is a common theme across most of the consulting firms these days, right? What I thought was sort of interesting was that the idea of engagement and culture is the number one concern. You know, what they talked about, in particular, I had an opportunity to speak with Josh a little bit about the report himself, and you know, his head is that, you know, we've been talking a lot about talent management recently, and that was the big topic whenever you looked at what executives were figuring was a big risk, was that their inability to replace talent. What this engagement and culture concern actually, I think, relates more to is a different dialogue, not so much, oh, we've got to increase engagement in the organizations, although that's what the report generally sort of says, But my take and some of the conversation I've had with other people around this is that the engagement and culture discussion is more about the brand of the organization on some level. And I think if you look at what the data is saying a little bit behind the, you know, consulting speak, is that there is some interesting things to take away from here, which is that companies might be less worried about their talent on some level and more worried about their brand than they have been in a very long time. And I think that then, you know, leads into the other piece that I took away from the whole report, which was the fact that learning and development end up being one of the top issues, which it hasn't been in a long time in the talent management space. Again, this idea that we have people in the organization who aren't quite, not just prepared, but maybe might be hurting the organization because they're not prepared as well. Those are my two takeaways from it. But I understand definitely what you're saying.
So isn't American management amazing? So you've got workforces that were thinned beyond the bone as the result of the recession. So you had multiple people doing massive quantities of other people's work in order to stay employed.
Yep.
And now we're going to hammer on them because they didn't have time to develop themselves without company resources.
Yep.
that's
we are definitely going to do that. And we're going to want to know why they're not talking well about the company, right?
really?
You know, why they're not like, brand ambassadors, yes.
this is very expensive consulting to blame employees for the fact that the companies are not as agile as they might be if there had been more money around. And nobody's saying, well, we just came through a gut-wrenching time, and what we have are people who are really good at dealing with a gut-wrenching time, producing extraordinarily while they're suffering from survivor's guilt because they're the only people left inside of the office. And God, I hate that. You know, it's like if you're a worker in the United States, you're always screwing up some way, and they're always blaming HR as icing on the cake.
A U.S. phenomenon, though. I mean, I do think that, you know, looking, I mean, obviously outside the U.S., there's a lot of opportunity for works councils and groups to sort of get involved and a lot more union workers groups that sort of state more objectivity, as I think, in sort of how the employees are sort of treated as part of the business. But I do think this is a global perspective as well. You know, we weren't the only ones that went through the recession, right? The whole world went through it. And I do think that you hear and see some of this coming through, even when you're talking to organizations that are, you know, headquartered outside the U.S. as well.
I'm sure that's right. Right. It's just that we haven't really figured out how to value human capital in the way that we value financial capital. And so this is exactly a symptom of that. It's oh, look, we rode the horses for 2 years without a break, and now they're dying. Those damned horses.
and they're leaving, right? And they're going other places, and we can't figure out why. How do we keep them? You know, that all those dialogues are definitely coming across the conversations that you're hearing with big organizations. But,
oh, so what you're saying is that the engagement and culture story is really the attrition story.
I think so, yeah. It's attrition and branding. I think it's those two things, yeah.
Oh, we need to make our people love us so they'll stay.
Yeah.
That's a really smart way of looking at it.
Well, and it leads to the conversation that we started having when we were at the Ceridian event. Maybe that's a good place to start about is that, you know, this idea that we can optimize our workforce to a point where they are sort of working at the top levels of performance, right, and that they're leveraged as highly as possible started a lot with workforce management technology, right? And so both Ceridian and the other organization we had in the news this week, which is WorkforceSoftware.com, are probably the forefront of some of the most interesting changes happening in the workforce management space right now. And both of them look at it from a perspective of how can we make workforce management a bigger part of the HR conversation versus just an operations conversation. You know, that I think has a lot to do with this idea that we need to take talent, optimize them, work them in a way, you know, the shift optimizations and skills and certifications and fatigue management, all of that stuff, right, that leads to more dialogue about how we get the most out of our workforce. It often also leads to a lot of issues where workforces are not getting enough time between shifts, or they're not getting, you know, the type of conversations that often took place between the manager and the direct employee about what they wanted off and where they wanted off. So the system has to allow for that kind of input as well.
So let me spit that back at you and see if, yeah, if you agree with this. I think what you just said is that workforce management without talent management is silly. And talent management without workforce management is so incomplete as to be rudderless. Is that what you just said?
That's a great way of putting it. Yes, much more concise than mine. I would almost go as far as workforce management without talent management could be dangerous for an organization. Could get you really good numbers for a very short amount of time, but it will also burn out your employees very quickly. Yeah.
Right, right. And the opposite is true. If you don't have workforce management as the core piece, it means it needs to have a planning component to it, but if you don't have it as the core piece, what exactly are you managing people towards?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's great. Boy, we should package that up and sell that to Ceridian, because that's exactly what they were saying, but not as crisply. That's exactly what they were saying.
I think what was interesting this week, you know, not only did they talk a little bit about sort of what they're doing from a compliance, workforce management, and talent management connection perspective, right, which is a lot of what we were just talking about, which is really putting meat behind talent management, but they also talked a little bit about picking up a new acquisition of a technology called Related Matters, which is a behavior-based assessment tool that's along the lines of, maybe you might know more, DISC or Myers-Briggs. And their thought and perspective is that they're going to sort of embed this technology and this idea of sort of understanding people at a behavior-based level into everything from the, you know, onboarding to hiring to training and development, as well as, you know, the performance management conversations. I know the analysts had a lot of, you know, sort of, you know, questions about this topic. We've seen other organizations doing this. Halogen has integrated Myers-Briggs. I think you said People Matter had done some things with People Clues. What was your take on that, John, from what we were just talking about? Is that part of this talent management conversation with the workforce management tool as well?
So it's a really interesting arena. On one hand, the conventional wisdom, I'm not sure how true it is, but the conventional wisdom is that people leave their boss, they don't leave their company, that the people's attachment to an organization is through the boss, and that that human beings don't actually naturally make good bosses. So bosses need coaching, and a tool that helps you understand how to interact with your employees and gives, I wonder what that means. I think we're about to experience an end of something. Hang on one second. Let me go look at this and see if I missed something. Yeah. I think this is going to hang up in 90 seconds, Stacey.
Okay. Uh-oh. We got 10 minutes versus 30?
Yeah, that's wild. I don't know why it's doing that. I must have missed something setting it up, and I don't know how to fix it.
Do you want to, can we, but you can't do it twice in one day, can you?
No, I can't. And this is getting good. So let's wrap this up.
Okay.
It'll be a short episode. I apologize.
Yep.
This is not my thing. we need to come back and revisit the subject. It's a really important thing to talk about.
Let's plan to cover these next week. Yeah, we'll get started on the same conversation, maybe hit some of the topics that we didn't get to cover this week at our next Thursday's conversation, and finish it off there.
Perfect. Thanks, Stacey, and I apologize for the technical confusion.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good afternoon.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.